Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Power Athlete Radio, a podcast dedicated to empowering your performance every damn day. Join former NFL pro and Power Athlete founder John Wellborn as he dissects the greatest minds in strength, conditioning, and more. So whether your goal is to be the hammer, destroy mediocrity, or simply move the dirt, you've come to the right place. Now with the warm-up done, let the gains begin.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Power Athlete Radio. Recently, we've been doing a lot of interview type stuff, and I think what that involves is me just kind of being very question-like and mundane, which, as you know, is not me. If anything, I'm having to like put on this thick face mask of the interviewer, and a lot of times I sit there and I think, is this me? No, this isn't fucking me. I like to talk shit. I like to have fun, and there needs to be an element of personality. So I invited my good friend, training partner, and all-around good-humored individual, Mr. Arash Sofani,
to come in. It's always good to be back, John. And I know part of that mask that you're trying to take off is to reveal the fact that you're actually Brazilian.
I am wearing my approved Brazilian work shoes today, my Havaianas.
Steel-toe Havaianas.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, when you find yourself welding in Havaianas, that's how you know you're really a Brazilian.
Does one class makes Brazilian his whole identity.
There are people like that. All of a sudden they become, you know, all of a sudden they turn into the Os guys.
Yeah.
Os. Everything's Os. I'm like, you're not even Brazilian. You don't even know what that means.
Yeah. Hey, I'll meet you at the bar in 10 minutes. Os.
What does Os mean?
So it comes from, in Japanese, you say onigashimasu. And so like before every round that we would do in judo, we go like, onigashimasu, like, let us begin, like, after you. It's kind of like a gentlemanly way of saying, we're going to start now.
Nice.
So, and then that just turns into os, because, like, that just means, like, I'm ready, I'm willing to embark now. And so, it could also mean a number of different things, like, I understand, I'm, it's really kind of like...
It's a catch-all.
It's a catch-all, especially in training environment, when you're... And, you know, your professor's talking to you, your sensei's talking to you, say, oh, like, I'm ready to go. It can also be like a thank you.
It's a catch-all.
It's a catch-all.
It's kind of like Maizuma.
Well, Maizuma is very specific.
It just means one more.
Which in your book means you could always do one more.
Yeah. Well, like, it doesn't matter. It's like, you want to roll? Maizuma, let's one more.
Tequila soda? Maizuma.
Yeah. You want a steak? Maizuma. Yeah. Everything's like, I'll take one more.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm glad you invited me here today, because we're on the aftermath of our buddy Felipe, Cássio Felipe Costa, coming off of his world championship win. And first of all, it was like a super emotional time for me, because I was just like, dude.
Well, I know you texted me, are you watching this? Of course I'm watching this.
Yeah, Yeah, I was so wrapped up in the idea that he achieved what he set out to do. I forgot, because like Philippe's just our guy, right?
Yeah.
So go in, train, we lift weights, we recover together, all these kind of things. And I got so familiar with it that I forgot that this guy's actually the best. And he went out and did it, and I just got overwhelmed with emotion. I cried there on my couch.
I could see you getting glossy here.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, to be there every step of the way in this journey.
Yeah.
And it was amazing to see. You know, I did a post today on it, you know, 2022, when he shows up and, you know, he had these first year black belt, and hey, this is what I want to amass, this is what I want to attain, these are the goals that I have. You know, one of them was, I want to get a green card. Can you help me with that? You know, the training, all of these pieces that have come to fruition in 2024. And it's cool to see a young guy coming into their own.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he had a bit of a rough start in 2024.
Yeah.
You know, and there was a few little rocky points in this. I mean, I know he went into that who's number one, and didn't perform the way he wanted. So I was a little nervous going into ADCC, but like a big boy, he flew down to Brazil. He wins, the Brazilian ADCC final and then comes in. And I was a little nervous. Yeah. And then he went out there and somewhere in that ADCC adventure, he matured like I've never seen. And, you know, he ends up losing to Giancarlo and then goes into that, which was the bronze medal match. Mm-hmm. And that dude literally got him in like a heel hook, like toe hold, leg lock, like deal. And I'm looking at it and I know that dude broke his foot. And Philippe looked at him and was like, I'm not tapping. Nah. And then fucking went out there and win it. And I felt like we could probably cut this in, Jacob, that there was a moment in one of my favorite movies growing up called Days of Thunder with Tom Cruise. Like in there after the big crash, they get him back on the track and he's fucking running last. Everything's going in and all of a sudden he sees his wreck and he goes through the smoke. And when he drives out the other side, he's like, let's go, Harry. And he takes off and wins the deal. And it was like this great moment. Yeah. I've seen that movie hundreds of times because my brother and I had it on VHS. So we watched it a lot. And I felt that moment in that bronze medal match when he would not be denied, I felt that that was his cold trickle moment coming through the fog, coming through the smoke. And then all of a sudden now he goes down and ends up basically winning Nogi Worlds for the heavyweight. And not just like kind of won it.
Dominantly,
you know, submits the guy in his favorite smother choke, which I've been on the bottom of that receiving end before too.
Yes, it's a rite of passage at this point.
Well, here it comes.
Yeah. Well, you know, to be honest, I think the flames actually started to come up in his match with Giancarlo when he realized like, no, I can take this guy down.
Yeah.
Took him down, was on top. You know, frankly, just lost the match on points, right? Yeah. And I think that's when the spark lit in him that like, no, you know, any name, anybody, I can take them down and go after them. But the thing that stuck with me the whole weekend was that the transformation actually happened in the silliest way I could think of, was that he started communicating with us. So it used to be like radio silence. It was like, hey, like it used to be from Philippe, are you coming here to train? To like, hey guys, when is training happening? 1:30, are we good today? Like, yeah. It's like, no, he's on top of his own progress now. And he's evolved in the way that he thinks about his goals to the point where he's taking command and taking the front seat of what he wants to achieve. And so my thought is, okay, now that you're on top of the mountain, now that you've achieved your goal, what next? And also, do you get a chance to enjoy it and live in the moment, or do you have short-term memory? Do you just kind of let it fall and roll on basically and forget it as fast as you can? Because I'm thinking about Tom Brady. You know, Tom Brady's known for like saying, oh yeah, after I win, it's like on to the next one.
Yeah.
So do you get to live it up? How do you stay on track?
We interrupt this episode with a shameless self-promotion. Are you a fighter or grappler? Let me introduce you to Dragon Slayer. Crafted to complement your existing combat skills, maxing out your strength, skill, and conditioning so you can master the mat and hit him when it hurts. Get stronger and more stable. Be ready for every round. Claim a 7-day free trial by heading to powerathletehq.com/Dragonslayer today. Now back to the show. Oh, wow. I almost get some anxiety when you're talking about it because I've been through this exact thing. I never got a chance to win a Super Bowl. I played in NFC Championship games. And so every game of my NFL career ended in a final loss, mm-hmm. right? Like whether we finished the season with a win, went into the playoffs, and we lost in the playoffs. So I never had that idea of like, hey, I get to sit back and, you know, pop champagne and drink
a caipirinha.
Yeah, caipirinha, and go and like feel like you accomplished the goal that you set out at the beginning of the year. So that feeling of like, I'm not a world champion. I've never been a world champion was my desire to get back into training. And I knew there was always going to be a short layoff. You know, all of a sudden season ends end of January. Now it's in, you know, middle of February, but end of January, my training day was always right around Valentine's Day. So I'd take that 6 weeks off, just kind of hang out, enjoy myself. Valentine's Day was like back into the lab, back mm-hmm. into the fight. And now I have X amount of time to get ready to be able to go do it again and put together another great season. I think for him, he's got to not reside on the fact that he won a world championship, but that he didn't win gold at ADCC.
Yeah, yeah.
And that feeling of like a little bit of a chip on your shoulder where, you know, I accomplished a lot, but I didn't accomplish as much as I wanted. Mm-hmm. And I feel a lack of contentment is really important. He'll have to go through that himself. Like he might feel really good about himself. Well, that needs to go away. The one thing, though, that was pretty interesting for me on what was it last? It wasn't last Friday. It was the Friday before when we were up for open mat. Mm-hmm. And I was watching him and Victor go at it. And they had like about a 15-minute like legitimate like tussle where they were on their feet on the ground. I mean, Victor was trying to fucking pop his head off and kill him. And somehow Philippe, who was giving away at least 50 pounds,
yeah,
if not 60 pounds, was surviving in this thing and bringing the fight in this. And like, you know, that was always one of my nervous things where, you know, he was always around 218, 220. And then Shanji came to him and said, hey, I think you'd do better at 77 for the ADCC. So he cut the weight kind of slow, which was real smart.
Well, 88, but.
Oh yeah, at 88. So it wasn't 77, it was 88. My bad. I got to fix that in my Instagram post. So he cuts the weight and one of the factors in terms of weight cutting, especially if you have to do it in like, you know, a shorter period of time, we had enough time where we knew we could cut real slow and we kind of changed the training up where we stopped doing so much kind of like, almost like giving him a little bit more rest time in between training, in between, the different sets and reps and whatnot. So we were doing like really focused quality of movement. We kept the reps a little bit lower, threes and fours, and just worked on maintaining his strength. All of a sudden he ends up on a 18, 20 pound weight cut and didn't lose an ounce of strength over the course of that 4 months. This episode of Power Athlete Radio is powered by Train Heroic, the most immersive strength training app experience on the market. We've built an online training business by partnering with Train Heroic to deliver all of our world-class training programs like Jack Street, Hammer, Field Strong, and Grindstone. To learn which Power Athlete training program best suits your goals, head to powerathletehq.com/training. And if you're a coach looking to build a business with the best training tech in the business, head to trainheroic.com/powerathletehq. And now back to the show.
And got stronger in some aspects.
Well, I mean, just in the weight room or the barbell, we did not see a decline, mm-hmm. which I was expecting to see. All right, if he cuts 10%, you know, if he's 220 and he cuts down to 200, 10%, it would be standard that I'd see a 10% loss in strength. Just, you know, like now you don't have the mass to move it as fast as you wanted to. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see him come off. And actually, the way that I was gauging everything was in the superhuman protocols when we were doing the echo bike sprints. His max effort, his peak wattage actually went up. So he somehow found a way to lose 20 pounds, not really lose any muscle, and his peak wattage went up and his conditioning went up.
What a scary thought.
It really works out like that. Like talk about, if anybody was fucking shocked, it was me. And I remember thinking like, I mean, as I'm charting the numbers and the way that I was testing this whole thing was, you know, every 4 days we do the, you know, max effort, you know, superhuman protocols. And I was charting that whole deal. All of a sudden now his peak wattage was going up and his repeats were actually able to hold at a higher deal. So he lost 20 pounds. I think it comes down to the weight that he was carrying, you know, was excess body fat that wasn't helping him. Mm-hmm. And maybe the fact that, you know, he increased his conditioning, got stronger. We didn't do a pre-DEXA scan.
No, that would have been very interesting, as well as a cortisol measurement of all his training partners who had to deal with his increase in conditioning, because every slap, tap, and bump or before a round would cause anxiety in me because of how good his conditioning was. Also, I'd like to mention he was pretty religious about his zone two.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, we started using the Morpheus. Thanks, Joel Jameson, for that. And we started tracking his volume on the Morpheus. I wasn't necessarily obsessed with his training volume intensity, you know, using the Morpheus, but we were using it in all the zone two stuff. The training, I was trying to keep the rest down a little bit. So if all of a sudden I saw distress, just trying to backing a little because I knew his training volume was high and we were getting so much zone two work. And then we were tapping into that, you know, zone four, zone five, you know, once every 4 days.
Yeah.
But I've trained with those guys enough to know that when they fucking scrap, they scrap.
Yeah.
And You know, part of the Instagram post always goes back to iron sharpens iron. I mean, think about, you know, the people around him, the mentors, the coaches, the training partners, the people. I mean, even got fucking John McPhee coming in to fucking, you know, roll with Philippe and mention him on Joe Rogan. Yeah. So he hit everything at the right moment. I think that momentum that he had from ADCC 2024 just carried him through. And, you know, you think as a young guy, there's always those moments where, can I really do this? Am I really the person they believe in? Like a bit of self-doubt. And I think being in that moment at ADCC really crystallized him and proved to him that he has the ability. And then also, you know, Shanji coming in. And, you know, I mean, Shanji made the call to have him cut to 88 kilos and lose that 20 pounds. And at first I was like, oh, he's fought so hard for that weight. But the interesting thing is in the cut, he didn't really lose muscle.
No.
If anything, he improved his not only his body composition, but his tissue quality improved. Yeah. And I wonder if that was a combination of not only eating better, because he stopped being such a carby girl, mm-hmm. he was doing more zone two, and maybe the excess body fat he cut was oxidative in nature. So it was inhibiting his ability to perform.
Yeah, and it's funny because before his major focus on the new weight class, he was kind of banged up from week to week, and it might be that he was chronically inflamed from just from a hormonal standpoint of carrying more body fat than intended and being heavier, which you know, I have a lot of experience with.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and I noticed also when I you know, body recomp that. The normal aches and pains I would have in my ankles and my knees had decreased. So I wonder if that also had a huge impact on his ability to perform at the highest levels.
Did seeing his success fuel you in some way?
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah, dude. Like after seeing him win on Saturday, I just made this conscious decision that I'm going to wake up at the same time every day, whether it's a Saturday or Sunday. To the detriment of Mercedes. She's like, oh, we can't cuddle on Saturday, cold Saturday mornings. I'm like, no. At 5 a.m., I'm up and I'm going to go do something. And you had always mentioned it, like live like a farmer.
Yeah.
Like wake up early, go to bed early, follow the sun. And I do think that turning it off on Saturdays and Sundays to do all the cozy cuddling up might be a little bit might detract a little bit from your goals for sure, especially those who are trying to stay on track with their diet will kind of write off Saturday and Sunday as
I've seen people wreck a completely well thought out diet and all the great intentions by fucking up on a Saturday and Sunday. I've worked with people on diet. We've had a pretty extensive nutrition, you know, coaching deal over, you know, Power Athlete's history. And one of the interesting things, whenever I do any of the after action reviews with any of the coaches on their clients and, you know, what were the fails, what were this, it always comes back to one, they didn't take progress pictures and didn't weigh themselves enough. Mm-hmm. And two, they weren't honest about what they did on Saturdays and Sundays.
Yeah.
You know, the idea, and like, not to say you got to live like a fucking weirdo monk.
No, no.
But what I do is if I know I'm going out to dinner where I can't control variables, I just fast. Yeah. Like, I just am like, hey, dude, I don't know what I'm going to eat for dinner tonight. We're going to a restaurant. I'm just going to like work out and not eat anything and then just go hard at dinner.
Yeah.
And then at least then I don't feel like I'm like, you know, like having to bring my own little Tupperware and weigh things. And you're like, fuck, like, just be weird. Yeah. And also it makes the meal taste better because I'm a little hungry.
Yeah. I remember
when I have one drink and I feel a little buzzed.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. Philippe doesn't drink.
He does not drink.
I know. We talked about this yesterday at training. He's only had two drinks in his life. He had, when he got his black belt, Shanji made him have a glass of beer and they forced a tequila shot down his throat. And that's the only drinking he's ever had, which, as a fucking Big Matt was like looking at him. I thought Big Matt was going to like fucking shake his neck.
I remember the disappointment you had for us when you were like, hey, none of you guys fucking party or stay up all night. Like, this is so weird. How do you guys?
It's a different generation.
Yeah. Like, you kind of half expect us to be under recovered because we're fucking off on Friday nights and Saturday morning.
I am completely fucking landslide blown off the fucking mountain with you know, because Shanji comes from my generation.
Sure.
Where it was like, you're an athlete, you go hard, like you go hard in the training room, you go hard in the weight room, you go hard in the, you know, when you go out, like there's never a shift into the neutral and coast.
Yeah.
So to meet young guys that are like, what are you talking about? I don't do that. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck?
I've got a steady girlfriend at home. She's making me brownies.
I don't drink. And on Sundays I go to church. I'm like, what? What do you mean?
Stop being so well adjusted.
Yeah, look at you guys. But I'll tell you, Will Fries was another great example.
Yeah.
You know, Fries shows up. I mean, that kid at 26 or 25, whatever he is, way more fucking switched on than I was. He was like polite. I mean, all these other things. I'm like, dude, I was beating my head into a wall at your age. Yeah. I was like a car on fire, you know, wrecking my way through life.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these kids have the vision of something I probably didn't have into my 30s and their 20s, which like also gives me a little bit of longing because I don't get to hear the stories, but I also, it's a good thing in that they probably don't have to go through those trials and tribulations to figure out that if success is what you want, it doesn't come on a fucking flaming car driving 100 miles an hour down the road.
Does part of that come from the accessibility of information and being able to study the past better? Because now they're more connected than ever.
Part of my deal, I think, came from some of the older guys I was around. I'll give a tap of my hat to Mr. John Runyon, who was a believer that if you played good on Sundays, it was probably because you were nursing a hangover. So we'd drink a bunch on Friday and be a little hungover on Saturday and Sunday and then go out and fucking just split wigs and just be pissed off.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that is not a performance driver. And then, you know, hanging out with Tony and those guys in the off season, they like to go hard. And there was just everywhere we went was like, there was no, I don't drink. Like, no, I don't like pretty girls. Like, it just kind of was like the environment we were on. Yeah. I wonder now if I had gotten married early on and had a family, if like I would not have lived that same kind of nomadic life. Like I was a little bit of a road warrior, like legitimately.
With the hair and the rings to match.
Yeah, fucking, yeah, dude, if you look at any pictures where I got long hair and, you know, I got the bikes up in the shop people asked me about. I'm like that rigid chopper I used to ride in Philly. So, but my joke to Philippe yesterday is, if you're not young and stupid when you're young, when, like, how are you going to learn things when you're old? No. Like, I have the bank of fucking stupidity in the backside of this thing for me as an adult to be able to give sage advice. Hey, John, what do you think of this? I'm like, well, let me give you a little bit of advice. So every NFL game, every professional game that I went into, I always had the same outcome. I want to try to catch maybe somebody on their off day, right? Like that was kind of my joke. In reality, what I wanted to do was I wanted to catch the best player in the world on his greatest day, and I wanted to go out. And I was very fortunate to play pretty well. And I remember after every game, I used to call my brother just because I like to talk to him, but also had a tradition. And it always, the conversation would always go the same. I'd always be like, did you watch the game? He's like, yeah, I watched it. I'm like, what'd you think? And he was like, man, you did good. And my brother played offensive line and was my first coach, so he'd always give me some critiques. And he's like, man, you played good. And I'm like, yeah, I caught that guy. I just happened to catch him on a bad day. And he laughed one time and said, you've been catching people on the bad day for 10 years.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, when I hope to go out there, I hope that I'm catching the guy on, you know, at the peak of his, you know, physicality, the peak of his NFL career. I want to play against the best player on the biggest stage.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And be able to do my best, have the greatest battle. And at the end of the game, I would never have been like, you know, that guy was his best and I bested him. So my way to kind of back it off a little bit was like, man, I think that guy had an off day. There's no way I could have done what I did unless that guy had an off day. So in my mind, I kind of built everybody up as, you know, like if I'm Rocky Balboa, he's, you know, Clubber Lang and, you know, Apollo, and I'm just hoping to get in there and fight it out. And that was my mindset through everything, that everything was stacked against me, that I was, you know, you know, bottom of the rung, that these guys are, you know, going to take something from me. Mm-hmm. And I think in my mind, I built that up. But the problem is when you do that kind of mental gymnastics with yourself, you never really enjoy anything, mm-hmm. right? Because you can never really kind of ever beat your chest. And I remember, and this is completely fucking hilarious, but the last preseason game when I played for the Patriots, I got hurt in that last preseason game, and I finished the game, and I got off, we got dressed, we were on the plane flying back. And I remember normally I would just kind of like hang out and listen to music, but I kind of like, dudes are pouring drinks, and I kind of like had one, and I felt as if I was like, you know what? Like, I know I'm hurt, but all I have to do is get to the first game. And then in the NFL, once you're a vested player, if you're on the game day roster for the first game on the game day, your contract's guaranteed for the rest of the year.
Gotcha.
So I knew, I was like, oh, I'd never been cut. So I was like, you know what? Even though I hurt my knee and I knew it was fucking hurt, I was like, I finished the game, didn't say anything. I'll just get through this first week. You know, I'll grit it through, get to the first game, and then after that, I'll say something. And I kind of like allowed, and I had this game plan in my head, and I allowed myself to kind of relax and kind of enjoy the moment a little bit, not realizing that that would be my last moment playing football and being in that environment. I like enjoyed it, had a drink, kind of laughed, and kind of was bullshitting with guys and having a good time, mm-hmm. thinking to myself, I got a game plan for this. I'm going to relax a little bit. And then sure enough, we fly back at 3:58. I get a phone call from, the new North Carolina head coach, Bill Belichick. Hey, John, I need to see you in my office. And I was like, fuck. So I go in, they tell me, hey, we got to make a roster move. We're going to release you today and re-sign you tomorrow, which felt weird as fuck. I think what they knew is they knew my knee was fucked, and they couldn't like put me through a physical, find it, and then without me, you know, like just basically just a move. So then when they went to re-sign me, I had to go do the MRI, came back, and they were like, your knee's fucked, we can't re-sign you. Mm. And I remember I called, and they told me this as I was driving back from, like, literally they MRI'd me on the drive back from the hospital. They called and they cut me. And I pulled in and I went to put my coat in. It was dead off. And I like hit the hey, John Welborn, hold on. And this dude came out with a box, and it was my shoulder pads and my cleats. And that was it. Like there was none of my like shorts or gear, or any of my stuff, like none of my shirts, nothing.
Or your industrial lube.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I kept that all at home, but they fucking took everything, and they just handed me my cleats and my shoulder pads. And I was like, fuck, I don't even get a t-shirt or everything. They kept all, and that shit was old. Like, I mean, I've been wearing like the t-shirts and the shorts. I would have at least liked a little bit of Patriots gear. And they just, little fucking manager made me the box and was like, they said they would email you a, plane ride or a, plane ticket home. Yeah. And I was like, fuck, they got me.
They didn't even let you take one last lap around the locker room.
Nothing.
And touch your last locker. I mean, that reminds me of, there was a powerlifter, his name's Konstantin Konstantinovs, rest in peace. Yeah. But one of the most prolific deadlifters, and he always lifted his heart out on every chance, on every attempt.
He's an incredible deadlifter.
Because he mentioned, he goes, you never know when it's going to be your last lift.
Yeah.
He goes, that's why you put everything into it. And it's like,
I didn't know that that was my last moment.
Yeah.
And I came home. I knew my knee was fucked. Went and had surgery. They cleaned it out. I made a tactical error. I went to go see a doctor that was new. I should have gone back and seen Stedman. Mm-hmm. He was too aggressive on the surgery. I had way too much inflammation. Had to go get a second surgery to clean it up. By that time, I had missed an entire year. Mm-hmm. And, all of a sudden, CrossFit football started. I started traveling, teaching seminars. I was still training. Teams were calling. And I remember thinking, like, all right, I missed my 10th year, right, because I got hurt. Now, all of a sudden, here I am, like, in 2011, have to have another surgery, and the knee starts feeling better, like, into like, the offseason in 2000, and which would have been my 11th year.
Yeah.
And there was – the NFL's changed dramatically. I remember being 29 and people giving me high fives. I turned 30, and that next day people were looking at me sideways. It was as if, like, you turned 30 and there was an expiration date on your milk that like hit that day.
Yeah.
And now the NFL's kind of changed because you guys like Tom Brady are playing into their 40s and they're not as Kelsey's in his 30s.
It's not as black
as
white.
Yeah.
Not as black as white.
Well, but I also think players have beat the for social media and many, many other reasons. They have just added more longevity to their careers. And, the quality of the player, the younger guys, I don't know if this is a high. And the reason being is when I came in, and I actually had an interesting conversation with Fries about this, the amount of hitting and pad work that I had in my rookie year training camp, we were in pads AM for 3 hours, PM for 3 hours, AM for 3 hours, and then special teams. So we had three padded practices in 2 days, four practices, right? And then special teams was kind of off. We ran that for 42 days. So the amount of hitting, it was 9-on-7, 1-on-1. I mean, this was fucking live bullets. The amount of hitting that I had in that rookie training camp is more hitting than an individual coming into the NFL now will probably have over the course of a 10-year career.
Yeah.
Right. And then I played for Dick Vermeil, which probably fucking carved about 10 years off of my career. So I think the difference is there was an expiration date when I played of about 10 years, just because the amount of volume of hitting that guys did getting to that point was so much. Now, after 2009 with the CBA and what we've seen, you know, I mean, I remember Tony Gonzalez calling me and is like, dude, if we had played under this, we would all play as long as we wanted. Because of the physical requirements. So it's just not as demanding as it was. But unfortunately, like jiu-jitsu, the only way you learn your craft is in the gun, learning it. Like I do enjoy going to class and to practice. I break like the learning aspect of class different than practice. Because, you know, when we rolled like what we did on last Friday when we went and rolled with Victor, like that was practice.
Yeah.
Right. He like, hey, well, we'll work on one thing and then let's go live bullets. And that was fun because I got to roll for 10 minutes and then the last like 20 seconds, Victor kept submitting me.
Yeah.
You got a nice submission on me too.
Well, I'd like to add that rolling with John, you may get into a good position, but you'll actually get tired holding on to him.
Why? Because I'm like a sandbag?
Well, to quote you, because you were rolling with Coach Mandy, our esteemed kids coach, and you're like, it's trying to rustle a hog out of a hole. It's just, that's the same with you.
Yeah.
It's like, it's trying to rustle a hog out of a hole. And it can burn your arms and legs just trying to hold you down. So we had that long, like 10-minute exchange. And, you know, I was in good position the whole time, but literally I was just like, dude, I was getting tired of holding you.
Well, the funny part is Mandy's kind of inflexible.
Yeah.
So as I was trying to like force him into things, I couldn't get him what I wanted to because he lacks flexibility.
Yeah, that's a strength actually, though.
Yeah,
it is. If I can get him to lean into that more and you to lean more into your deep half, I think Victor's deep half propaganda campaign on you is going to work.
I feel like deep half
a guard player.
I feel like if deep half is kind of like residing to the fact that you don't have the other jiu-jitsu skills, so you're just a bottom half deep half player.
Listen, you can call it what you want, but you end up on top, baby.
Well, I'll tell you.
You're money, baby. You just don't know how money you are.
John Walsh is a fucking deep half guy.
There you go.
And, you know, his basically, I mean, just when we rolled the other day, man, I was like, and here comes the coyote guard.
Yeah.
And
since we're talking about jiu-jitsu, should we bring in our guy?
Let's finish this one, right?
The lean mass. And
I think in the motivation piece, let's keep that going. To have the motivation for him to be able to extend, he cannot be content with just being a world champion.
Yeah. Is something that I wanted to add when you were talking about, you know, getting injured in the preseason game and then not knowing that was going to be your last game. You were still working on something outside of playing, which was the CrossFit football. So it seemed to me that you didn't rest on your laurels, even if your main thing at that time was football. Like, well, so you're all, it's almost like you developed a habit of hard work just the actual playing.
So I appreciate you kind of giving me a compliment, but it was anything but. So I had this, this really, it kind of a fucked up mindset a little bit in that I really enjoyed playing football, but I've always been afraid to ever admit that I really loved or enjoyed something because what happens if it gets taken from me? I have the ability to like, you know, deal with this? And I really loved football, but yet it was so fleeting. I mean, you know, I played so well in Philly and I got hurt and then, you know, I get into that contract deal and I get traded and then, you know, Carl Peterson fucks me over in that deal. And, you know, and then all of a sudden, magically, I like test positive for some bullshit. And then they suspend me, which was completely unwarranted. Mm-hmm. And so I think like I was so in and out that like in my mind, the only way I could deal with this level of like turmoil was by like, I don't really fucking like this. I'm going to walk away at any time. And like I retired at one point, right? Like when they wouldn't redo my contract and I was just in a bad position, I was so negative. I just fucking retired and I was going to go to law school. And it was actually Will Shields, Hall of Famer Will Shields, called me on the phone during training camp and was like, dude, I need you to unretire and come back and play. I can't let this be my fucking end of my career. These guys are fucking awful. And I had this like weird feeling of I don't want to let him down. And I loved Will. He was, I still do. But like I had a ton of respect for him. And the fact that he called me on the phone and said, dude, I need you to come back. I fucking unretired. And I came back and ended up, took me 4 weeks to get back in shape. And I came back and fucking started. Mm-hmm. So I like had that, you know, like there was a lot of turmoil. And I think because of it was because, you know, whether I was impetuous or, you know, hot-headed, whatever it is, there is a better version of the way that I did it that if I had had somebody like me to mentor me, been like, slow the fuck down. Let's look at this, you know, like, and that's why I've worked so hard to try to mentor you and Arash, I mean, and Philippe and Victor and even Fries and some of the guys I'm around because I made a lot of fucking mistakes. Mm-hmm. And the mistakes were at my own, like my own hands, just by not being, you know, like, and if I had just had some better mentorship, I think my agent was a shitty fucking mentor. I think he was just eyeing money. How can I get money today and put me in some bad positions mm-hmm. that in hindsight I shouldn't have been in. And you pay people, you bring people on to mentor you and hopefully give you the best information they can. And I think when you're young, and this is where I joke back that maybe some of the Stoic stuff that I read when I was young kind of fucked me up because I was very white, black and white. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't as seasoned in the business as I needed to be. Mm-hmm. And I didn't, you know, I thought I knew everything, which is, you know, the hallmark of youth. But I believe that there's a better way that I could have accomplished what I wanted to. And if I had had somebody like me to mentor me. And unfortunately, you know, I think sometimes you gotta, you know, have your feet to the fire and live close to the flame to be able to give this advice later on. Yeah, I mean,
thank you for fucking up.
Yeah,
because you've I'm sure I'm gonna have many opportunities to say thank you, but thank you.
Yeah, I think regret is an interesting deal. Yeah. It's a lot like guilt.
Yeah.
Right. You can either walk around with it carrying heavy luggage yeah. or you just set it the fuck down and learn from it.
Yeah.
So I don't have do I regret some of the ways I handled some things? 100%.
No.
Were some of them, you know, me reacting to how people were treating me by me not understanding that football is a fucking dirty business? 100%. Yeah. Could I have handled them better? Yes. Did I listen to some people I shouldn't have? 100%. And going forward, one of the promises I made to myself was if I ever am in a position to mentor or, you know, father, whatever, if I see you fucking up, I can't not say something.
Yeah.
So, you know, if somebody's making a mistake or I see something going on, I'm going to say something. And you have the ability to either take it and say, hey, you know what, I'm going to listen to John, or I'm not going to fucking listen to you. And I'm going to do what I want. And if that's the case, at least I said what I did and you know how I feel. But you have to be a man and make your own decisions. So I can't fight those for you. But if I see you making a mistake, I'm going to tell you. So I think for Philippe, if he wants to be successful going forward, he cannot be satisfied with just winning a world championship. Mm-hmm. Shanji was a 10-time world champion. Victor's won numerous. If he wants to be in the same conversation with like the Shanji Haberos and Lovatos and people that are within what I call, you know, the Habero lineage, you know, mm-hmm. like Salo and Shanji, like I kind of look at this like, you know, umbrella. And I remember when I was reached out to by another jiu-jitsu team to work with one of their athletes, when I approached Shanji about it, Shanji made this thing like there's, you know, like this is our umbrella. These are our people. Those aren't part of our people. Mm-hmm. And this is our community. And it's, you know, Shanji and Salo and Lovato and you guys and this, like, these are our people. And he's like, you know, we don't really deviate outside of that. I don't know if that's good or bad, mm-hmm. but, you know, it definitely is important to know who your people are, where you come from, what your lineage is, and more importantly, what the goal is, and that everybody has your best interest at heart. So I think the one thing he has is he has mentors and people around him that have his best interest at heart. Mm-hmm. And as long as he's not content with what he has accomplished in 2024, and that every year is big, is going up, I think he'll be fine. If everything, he sits back and goes, it was good enough.
Yeah.
Then you know what? Then we'll have issues, and then we'll just have to kick his fucking ass. So,
part of what makes me so happy for Philippe and his recent achievement is that when you're talking about all the regrets that you had as an athlete, is seeing him right, you know, mine and like many others are wrongs, and rise above them. I think that's what moved me the most, was that he sang our redemption song for us. And I think that's where most of the feeling, the positive emotions are coming from.
It's you living vicariously.
Surely.
Right? Like, so you're looking at it like your jiu-jitsu journey is mm-hmm. an interesting piece. You're a brown belt, you know, you're hoping to earn your black, but mm-hmm. like you're kind of like missed that like kind of younger early 20s competition. So now you're 30s in the master stuff. Yeah. So you're seeing him accomplish something and you get to live vicariously through him, mm-hmm. which is exciting because you get to go out and see our guys that we train with at every moment go out and like live the dream that like you secretly want inside.
Yeah.
And as long as you're okay with living vicariously and feeling like, hey, you know what? Like if he wins, we all win.
Yeah.
Where that becomes poisonous, if all of a sudden you think, well, why not me?
Sure.
How come him? And that happened all too much in the NFL. And it still happens to this day.
And maybe that's a sign of a good coach is that living vicariously and seeing your guys accomplish it is that, you know, you're able to enjoy the moment for them as well.
So I told my son this, the only person on this planet that'll want you to be better than him is your father.
Yeah.
I hope you grow bigger and stronger than me. I hope you're better than me. Very few people that you'll meet who aren't your, you know, progeny will never do that.
Yeah.
I think what you've seen with these kids is, and this is something, you know, with Shanji and Lovato and those guys who have attained this, you know, are they okay with, you know, crafting these young guys to basically knock all of their, you know, medals off the wall and be the best version of them. Mm-hmm. You know, are they okay with, hey, here's my association. Here's what I started. I have training these young guys to be better versions of me. That's the true mark of a master. I mean, you know, if you think about, I didn't tell you this, but I used to own racehorses. Right. And we talk about a fucking scary business. I got roped into.
And I'm the Middle Eastern guy.
Yeah. So I
don't have
race
one
horse. And we got to go visit Stormcat, which Stormcat was this stud. He studded 3 times a day, $500,000 a pop, a million and a half thumbs a day.
Oh, you did tell me about the royal sperm.
Yeah. So 7 days a week he studded. This guy was fucking great. We went out. Literally, they played this music. He came prancing out. They put this coat on him. He walked down this velvet deal, would go in, bang, 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 and leave. And as you're getting into horse racing, you realize that all the money's in the acorn, not the yoke, right? Mm-hmm. So the money's in the offspring, but his ability, like he wasn't a great racehorse, right? He didn't win, but him being the sire of so many Kentucky Derby winners and Oaks winners and Triple Crown winners, his value was so high that he was valuable for what he could produce, not necessarily what he did. So as I was trying to explain this to Shanji, I mean, you were a world champion, you have all this. Your value today is about if you can develop people better than you. I mean, look at John Danaher, right? So Danaher had no illustrious career and his jiu-jitsu, I mean, I'm sure it was great, but he never competed at the high level. He goes out and, you know, crafts Gordon Ryan and, you know,
Gary Tonin and a number of athletes.
Yeah, so now he's considered the guru of this thing, not for what he did, but because his ability to develop athletes to go far beyond him, that's where his value is. Mm-hmm. So, and however you feel about Gordon Ryan and all of his other fucking idiosyncrasies, he's fucking really good. Mm-hmm. And he was at 185 pounds submitting people that were, you know, 50, 60 pounds and, you know, saw this and then he, you know, decided to, you know, go the dark road and do what he's done. But, there's no denying that he's pretty fucking good at this.
Yeah. And really the only downside is we're going to have to see a generation of kids that are going to dye their beard white.
Oh my God. you think Gordon did that so he looked like Papa Smurf?
Maybe not Papa Smurf, but maybe Wiser beyond his years. But
I could see
why he's done it.
It's not a
terrible look for him. Personally would never do it.
No, it's super weird when I see the Brazilians do it too. So I still make fun of them.
But, the blonde hair.
Yeah, you know what? I did it when I was their age too. I bleached my hair blonde. We went to
maybe that's what I'm missing.
This Halloween deal where we were all like characters from The Lost Boys.
Okay.
And so the character I was Kiefer Sutherland, and we went as like The Lost Boys. So I bleached my hair.
Yeah.
And it looked super odd. And then I came back and shaved it. So I killed my hair. I just had to go buzz. Yeah. But it was a good deal. But I hope 2025. Is the year for him to be able to crystallize everything he did in 2024, and he doesn't hopefully bump his head like I did so many times.
I'm hopeful.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for being here, Mr. Sofani. And thanks for tuning in another episode of Power Athlete Radio. Hey there, Power Athlete Nation. Big shout out to all the heavy hitters who stuck around till the final whistle. If you've been soaking in the knowledge bombs and epic tales we've been dropping for free, here's your chance to be a game changer. Swing by kofi.com/powerathlete and toss a few bucks our way to keep the podcast fueled and firing on all cylinders. That's kofi.com/powerathlete. Your support makes a difference. See ya.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.